minutes. You know, we got to thinking recently that the MSU extension offers so many services that a lot of people aren't even aware of. So we want to start talking to some of these people, like Janine Schweighofer, who's joining us right now from the extension. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Tell us a little bit about the work that you do there.
I work with livestock producers and meat processors on the quality and safety of meat. So we're working to improve meat quality and meat safety.
So important. And so many of those processors, even in our area, aren't there?
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're across the state. There's several hundred small meat processors, but there's several in our area as well.
Yeah, more than people realize. I think we tend to take that for granted sometimes, don't
yes.
we?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So what are some of the safety issues, just from your standpoint, what are some of the things that you look for when you go to a processing plant?
So I work with processors on helping them comply with regulations and safety measures. So we can do sanitation trainings and then also things with product quality. So whatever their question or issue or challenges, or if they want to expand or change their business, I work with them on those aspects.
Very good. For consumers, what are some things that we should be aware of when we go shopping for a steak or a roast or some hamburger?
So buy a meat thermometer. That's the best advice that I have for you.
Why is that so important? Because a lot of people, and I'll admit I'm one of them, that just kind of goes by look and feel, and you know, you kind of press your thumb on the steak. How does it feel? What do the juices look like? But that meat thermometer really is important, isn't it?
That meat thermometer is imperative to having a high-quality eating experience. Mm-hmm. So really, we teach using a food thermometer or meat thermometer from a safety aspect, but it really improves the quality of your eating experience, too, because you're not overcooking the meat or drying it out. So using a meat thermometer is key.
Yeah, and a good quality meat thermometer, too. I mean, there are a lot of different types available, you know, from the low end to the very high end. You want one that you know is going to work well, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can get the lower end old-fashioned dial ones that have a little divot.
Yep.
Those take an average of the temperature from the divot to the end. They also make end point temperature thermometers where they take the end at the very tip.
Okay.
And those are much faster usually. So really it's all about patience, how much patience you have and how much you want to invest in that thermometer.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they all work from all aspects of the spectrum.
And it's important no matter how you're cooking your meat. A lot of people are using smokers these days. I keep flirting with the idea because I think it looks pretty cool. But, you know, I have concerns myself about, you know, cooking something for such a long period of time. That meat thermometer is going to be a big help for you, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't want to have it at too low of a temperature under that 140 degrees for more than 6 hours, really, if you're cooking meat in a smoker type operation. But really, ground meat is where a meat thermometer is key. 160 degrees, cook that ground beef patty or ground meat instantaneously, and you have all of the pathogens would be, if there are any present, they would be killed. But you can still have pink in the center. So color is not an indicator of doneness, especially in ground meat.
Okay.
And that's why that meat thermometer is so important.
Absolutely. What are some other things that we need to keep in mind when we're shopping for meat?
Meat is a high quality, high protein, packed, nutrient dense food for us. And so we can find that in all different aspects. If you're looking for healthful things, there's lean cuts. There's like 30 lean cuts of beef, and go for those lower fat content ones.
Yeah, a lot of people say, "Well, I'm trying to watch whether it's my fat intake or caloric intake or whatever. So I'm just going to cut beef out." You don't have to cut beef out entirely, do you? You can find some good lean,
healthy
cuts. Absolutely
not. There's 30 lean cuts approved for lean. And it's just having less fat in those cuts.
Right.
But they can still be very flavorful and tasteful.
Right, especially if you cook them the right way and at the right temperature, right?
Yes, if you don't overcook them. A lot of those whole muscle cuts, can be cooked to 145 degrees, let them sit for 3 minutes, and they're really juicy and a good eating experience.
So what would be a good cut if I were looking for something that, something that wasn't too high in fat or calories? If I'm trying to kind of watch what I eat, what would you recommend? What would be a good thing to make and prepare?
Oh, there's tons of choices out there. And so I guess it depends, right? So do you want to be grilling? Do you want to be doing slow meat cookery with moist heat cookery and braising? So, right now, maybe more pot roast type things or things. But typically, cuts that have round or loin in their name will be leaner.
Okay. What are some of the myths out there when it comes to meat that you want to try and dispel?
I think there's a lot of myths out there in the meat industry, and we could have a conversation for a whole day. But
sure.
I think there's a misunderstanding about the sustainability. Mm-hmm. Farmers really do care about the land and the environment when they're raising meat. And beef is about 1.9, so less than 2% of the total carbon greenhouse gas emission in the U.S. So
yeah.
In the U.S., we've really become a lot more sustainable in beef production. And since the mid-70s, we're producing as much or more beef with 36% fewer cattle. So
really?
We're becoming more efficient at what we're doing in the beef industry.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Everybody is gravitating toward these plant-based beef alternatives. But now they're discovering maybe they're not as healthy as you might think. You just talked about all the different cuts of beef that you can get. You know, if you're trying to eat healthy, beef is still can be a good part of your diet, whereas some of the plant-based meat alternatives out there aren't necessarily as healthy as actual beef.
Yeah, and so most of those have multiple ingredients.
Sure.
And not all processed foods are unhealthy or bad for you, but beef or pork or chicken has one ingredient and is much lower in sodium. So that's where the big difference comes in, is that there's much less sodium content in that compared to alternative protein from plant-based materials that are trying to mimic meat.
Yeah, yeah. You really know your beef. I mean, obviously, you've got a PhD in this. What drew you to this? What keeps you interested?
So I grew up on a small farm outside of Richmond, and went to Michigan State and was on the meat judging team there and in the research lab, and learned to really love the industry and have a passion for agriculture.
Yeah, and there's still a whole group of kids coming up that have that interest. I see them at the 4-H fair every year. I mean, it's exciting to see that interest being sustained with young people, isn't it?
Yes, and I have a passion for that as well. I was a 4-H member, and now I'm a 4-H leader.
Yeah.
So,
cool stuff. We appreciate you joining us, Janita. If people have additional questions about beef or the beef industry, they can turn to the Extension for more information, can't they?
Absolutely. Extension is a wealth of resources. There's online questions where you can ask an expert anonymously, or you can call us here in Port Huron. I'm in the office.
Great.
810-989-6935.
Fantastic. Janita, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Paul.